ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over shortwave radio station WWCR on 4.840 megahertz and 3.215 megahertz as transmitters 3 and 1. And we're being heard over shortwave station WPCQ on 7.490 megahertz. Both of those stations also have internet links to stream the sound, and you can find them directly at our website, kingidentity.com, KingIdentity.com. Go to the radio page and you'll see links from those stations, and also underneath it where it says Kingdom Concepts, there's a link there where you can listen live. If you'd like to call tonight, and it should be a most interesting program, to participate with your questions or comments, you can call 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAHS-RACE. Christ told us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not only do we need to know his spiritual truths to guide us, but we need to know the truth of what's actually taking place in this world in order to properly apply these principles. You know that the lying mainstream medias cannot be trusted, and they're not going to tell you what's really going on. But there is at least one publication that helps us understand what is taking place behind the scenes, and that's the American Free Press. My guest tonight is a man who is the managing editor and director of this publication, and also the executive director of the Barnes Review, a journal of real history. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Paul Angel.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Great to be on the show.
Well, great to have you back. The election is less than 2 days away. Looks like if Trump wins, the radical left will create violence, and if Biden wins, we face not only the destruction of our economy, but about every value we hold dear. How's your outlook on this subject?
Well, it's a encompassing election, that's for sure. We're fighting for culture, we're fighting for country, we're fighting for Christian beliefs, we're fighting for conservatism, we're fighting radicalism. And by the way, the idea that the left will only cause violence or mass protests if Trump wins is probably not true, because inevitably they're going to take to the streets to see if they can pressure Joe Biden into doing what they want him to do and what the people, many of the people in the Democratic Party behind him want to do. So I wouldn't doubt that this is going to be a perfectly peaceful country for the next 4 years, no matter who wins. But that being said, you know, you're right about the news media. This is American Free Press. It's the newspaper I work for, of course, and I was there when we founded it in 2001. And it's been independent since then. We have, over the years, prided ourselves on being unbiased and neutral, because very few outlets are. We're not beholden to big advertisers or big donors. We just survive on subscription dollars. But I must say, the last year, we seem to have been pushed, as many Americans have been pushed to the fringes, and we have come out a little more, less, I would say, unbiased for Trump than we normally would be. We're still critical of the president when we think he's wrong. But when you look around and you find an independent news outlet like American Free Press, which you can find at americanfreepress.net, you know, you really need to support them because we've all seen this now. If anybody's following the news, that the news media, particularly the leftist news media, has gone completely wacko. Okay, they're ignoring massive stories, which would be groundbreaking stories in an honest press. They're being covered by Fox. I've never been a big fan of Fox, but I must say that over the past 4 years, not only has Donald Trump transformed the Republican Party from what was considered, you know, a big business, super wealthy base to a middle class, working, America first party. And that's a massive thing. You can also see that by the defections from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party from a lot of these neocons, mostly the warmongers who didn't like Trump's foreign policy. But that being said, I think that it'll be extremely interesting for any honest newspaper the next 4 years. I must say, though, to follow up on the comment you made, and you must be kind of surprised yourself to see a story as big as, say, the Joe Biden involvement in paper play stuff in multiple countries and hundreds of millions of dollars with his son, and whether or not the stuff that his son was doing was legal or not, or whether what Joe was doing, we know one thing, he lied about it because he was integrally involved in these business dealings, which enriched him to the more than you and I are going to make combined in a lifetime, I'm sure, much more. And so, but to see them, the news media just completely ignore the story or really try to smear the story as a Russian disinformation story is shocking to me. I mean, every day of the last 4 years, I've been shocked more, and I never thought I could be shocked after working in American Free Press and the Spotlight before that. I've been working in these independent newspapers, political newspapers for 25, going on 30 years. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised by any of the stuff I see. But the blatant lying, not only of the news media, but of members of Congress like Adam Schiff, who are continuing to insist that this information, which is disturbing information, I don't know if at this late in the game it bothers anybody, but to see them, members of Congress teaming up with the news media, suppress the story, and then to see big tech come in there. Well, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because, of course, we've faced this ourselves and so have many other independent news outlets and organizations like your own that hold different views from the mainstream leftists. And that's what it is because we can't be totally unbiased when we're looking at these situations now when we see big tech claiming that they're not putting, and that's Google, Twitter, Facebook particularly, where, by the way, something like 50% of Americans get their news and the other 20% get their news from late night comedy shows, for crying out loud. 70% of Americans get their news from these two sources, both extremely left. But to see them go in front of Congress and deny that they would have, what they're saying is they wouldn't have published this stuff on Trump because it wasn't verified if it had been Don Trump Jr., and not Hunter Biden Jr. This is a complete lie. This would be the number one story, this whole Biden laptop pay for play and the amount of millions would have been the number one story 24/7 for the past 3 weeks. So it's completely disingenuous. There's been a deal made between the radical left, the Democratic Party, which will do anything right now, it looks to me like for power. Although I'm sure, and I will say this, that there's tons of great Democrats in this country. And there's tons of, I would think, the Democratic politicians who just are too scared to say that they disagree with the stuff that Ilhan Omar wants and Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley. What do they want? I guess that's what we should talk about is the differences in the platforms. Of course, the critics of Trump, and I come across them all the time, say, well, what's America first? What's he going to do for this? What's he going to do for foreign intervention? And I said, well, America First is its own platform all the way through. If you're going to say, what's my America First policy on foreign intervention? Well, we know that it's going to be try to talk to these people, try to avoid war at all costs, try to bring your troops home, et cetera, et cetera. So the people don't quite understand America First, how it actually works. But they're also kind of being driven, I think, more than looking at the issues. So I think if we look at the issues and we look at the differences between the two parties, then we're going to see that they probably have the greatest difference they've had in decades. I mean, many years ago, I mean, many of us didn't care who won an election. A lot of us didn't vote at times. As much as I've been involved in politics, there have been a few presidential elections. I've sat on the sidelines and said, I really don't like either of these guys. But now we've come to the point where there's basically two groups of people. There's the group of people who hate Trump, and there's the group of people who love Trump. And there's really very few people I've been able to talk to, and believe me, we talk to a lot of people at American Free Press, who say, I love Biden. I love Kamala Harris. I love the Democratic platform. What they say is, I hate Trump. And I try to explain to them they really shouldn't be voting for hate. They should be voting for love. And so what do we love as conservatives? We love this country. We think it's a fair country. We don't think it's systemically racist. We think just the opposite, by the way, that our system is anti-racist. It has laws in place to prevent this, housing regulations, benefits for school for being a minority, job preferences, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on. And so we think this is a fair and equitable country, and one of the, really, in my opinion, possibly the greatest country ever created in the history of man, although we have to admit that we've been turning towards the wicked recently in some of the things. But much of this is also just news media persuasion and leftist education policies. So if you look at it like in, before an intervention, just for the first one, I would think that Trump's the Democrats are talking tough with Russia, have been trying to make Russia our enemy for the past 4, 8, 12 years, right? They have ignored China, and they have started wars, more or less, although George W. Bush was obviously the guy who started the Iraq War. So both parties, up until this time, have been pro-war. Trump, on the other hand, has tried to bring troops home from multiple countries. And, you know, people who watch CNN and MSNBC are even unaware that he's been nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes. Now, I do have my own opinions. I won't go into them now about the success of these peace pacts in the Middle East and why I don't think they were necessarily the best way to go about getting peace in the Middle East. But that's for a different night, for a different subject. But if you look at, like, the economy, the fear that the Democrats seem to have, and again, the leftist news media and the Democratic Party right now are joined at the hip. So I watch those shows and I see fear and I see hate. So they're hyping up this COVID thing to the point where people are scared they're going to shut this economy down. And I'll tell you what, we tried our mitigation efforts with COVID-19. We tried staying inside for a while. People wear their masks and all, but it's not working. And so I think at this point in time, it's a real fear for people about the economy and how we're going to deal with COVID. There's not much else, I think, that we can do at this point in time. The thing has gotten loose. We were pretty much done when it got loose. So I would suggest that a vote for the conservatives and Republican means we're going to at least have some chance of a successful economy for the next 4 years. Because if we do start to shut this thing down, it may be part of their plot to get us all begging for welfare checks, you know. Freedom of speech is a huge issue. Now, the Democrats are going to say that they want freedom of speech, but we just saw them engage in collusion, honestly, election collusion, with the big tech companies and suppressing this Biden story and suppressing the facts of a presidential candidate who looks like he was selling his name and lying to the American public about it. I do like what I see the Republicans at least doing, and the conservatives, I should say, because not all Republicans are on board. As you well know, the Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency for 2 years of the first 2 years of the Trump term and didn't do much to help them. So they're barely better, but at least I think they're
yeah, there's a lot of establishment rhinos.
Absolutely, absolutely. So at least I like for the subject of free speech and the free press, which obviously is of great concern to me, but also should be concerned to all Americans, because if we can't get the truth, or at least different opinions, so that we as grown-up Americans can make up our own mind about what this is, well, what the heck? We're not going to be able to form cogent decisions and formulate plans of how we're going to move forward in the future. So I do like what they're doing with trying to bring the tech companies to task, so I'm going to support them there. As far as race relations go, I felt like race relations were pretty good in this country. Everybody in my little rural county out here in Virginia seems to get along just fine. And I don't see any white people hunting down black people or Hispanics or denying them jobs or calling them names behind their backs. It's not really like that. That didn't start happening until Obama started stirring all that stuff up with Trayvon Martin and then the comments he made after Ferguson. To say that Trump is the racial arsonist here is ridiculous when Obama and Biden were about the worst there could be and had just as many, well, I wouldn't say as many, but as many incidents blew up with these police shootings and such, and they didn't say a word in of truth to the people who were rioting to calm them down. So I don't really trust the new regime for that. We also know that somehow, I guess it's from the coverage of the leftist news media, that Biden has covered up his seriously racist past. So I feel like that two of the biggest things for me, as far as that goes, since I have kids in school, is also this critical race theory being taught in school, that white people are the enemy, that we're the oppressors, that at the age of 4 years old in a kindergarten class or a pre-kindergarten class or 4 or 5 year old, and by the time you're in kindergarten or first grade, you're still learning that you're the oppressor and your little classmate who might be a little bit darker than you is the oppressed. I mean, it's a terrible thing to teach children. It's a victimization and victimizers. And so I like what Trump did recently with trying to get this critical race theory stuff out of the federal government, where grown men, white men, were having to write apology letters. And some of these grown white men, I guarantee you, had relatives in the Union Army who fought to free the slaves. So why should they have to be getting down on a knee, right, to pray at this altar of political correctness when they've already had members of their family have the greatest of sacrifices? You know, so I don't go with the reparations. So I'm siding with the Republicans on that particular plank in the platform. So education is important to me, and also the critical race theory and jobs. I mean, that's ridiculous. The idea that, and part of this is also that to get rid of racism, we have to be racist. And how does that work? Well, we can only have 25% of the workforce in this particular company be white men. Any more than that would be racist. Yet you're rejecting possibly Asians or even whites for jobs who are better qualified. That's racism. I mean, that's the definition of it practically. So I don't really like the way they're going on that. And I don't think I can stand being lectured for 4 years by Kamala Harris about how awful a human being I am. So we've always tried to bend over backwards for people, right? Especially in the counties I've always lived in, the people we know. So I don't think I could handle that, being told that every single day, or my children or my wife or anybody else. And of course, there's
Kamala Harris has made statements that they're going to prosecute people who think like I do, these hate crime laws.
You're coming up in front of the commission like they had in South Africa, the Reconciliation Commission. That's a very good point. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, but it certainly is something to consider because we can't take chances. The Reconciliation Commission, that is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did that in South Africa afterwards, right? And anybody who participated in apartheid, it was in the government or a newspaper editor or an activist who was involved in promoting apartheid or denigrating integration would be punished. Well, they are talking about this, and of course you should be worried, and so should I, because we've called it straight down the line the way we've seen it. We were one of our most popular issues this year at American Free Press with our rioting issue. And we had pictures in there, just average pictures that we thought everybody had seen. Here's pictures of Philly, Chicago, L.A. burning, San Bernardino, Austin, Texas, Richmond, Virginia. And our readers were like, well, I never saw any of this stuff. It's because they were relying on their local mainstream paper, or they weren't watching getting the proper news. This stuff was on the Internet. But again, I'll go back to that what we found out about free speech on the Internet. I'll make an additional comment about that later. But trust me, along the way, you wonder what's going on. That issue is supposed to be delivered in 2 or 3 days, or biweekly publication. It took a month to get to people. And, you know, you can't hide your front page, and you wonder who along the way is sabotaging you. And as far as the Reconciliation Commission, well, Mike, you and I, we'll go ahead and maybe we can share a jail cell at the re-education camp.
Thing that surprises me is that the establishment media, I thought they kind of calmed down from being so rabidly anti-Trump after the 2016 election, but they've kept it up for the last 4 years. And we know they've been liberal, but at least they made a pretense of objectivity And as you said, they're working with big tech, the big corporations, social media, and just everything, teachers unions. And after years of following politics, it's very surprising that they've gone this far.
Well, it's like I said, this is the biggest difference I've seen. I can tell you that my wife was a moderate Democrat and actually voted for Hillary Clinton. Doesn't like Donald Trump too much, as many women don't seem to. A lot of them do. But she left the Democratic Party and went to the Walk Away campaign, and she will never vote Democrat again. And she says that when she started, there was 25,000 people in this Walk Away campaign. This is people who are walk away from the Democratic Party. And when she stopped just a day or so ago, her check, there was 520,000. And that's pretty good. And so we don't know how that's all going to go. And I'll get back to my planks first, but it was an interesting thing that 25 to 30% of the people who attend Trump rallies are Democratic voters who want to see what he's like. Another 30% of them are ones who are Democrats are considering voting Republican or have already committed to voting Republican. Looking at what's going on in the ground, you could hardly think that Trump could lose. But remember, when you look at that election map, he wins 90% of the counties and can still lose. He can win 90% of the counties and win and lose by 5 million votes with the Electoral College. And so we have 100 counties, maybe 90 here in Virginia, I think it is. And I would say 90% of them are going to vote for Trump, but it's not where the population centers are. But they are just dots in L.A., of blue L.A., Seattle, Portland, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, right? But when you start off, when a Republican starts off with California, New York, Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts, Maryland, Virginia now, which I understand they're turning my state into California East, it's a tough thing to win an election. So it'll be very interesting. But I still think that the majority of people in America still support conservative values. And we'll find out. We'll see how they do.
I'd say that would be the majority of white Christian people. They talk about demographics are changing. That's the problem. White Christians still vote in a traditional manner. But you bring in the blacks and the Jews and the Hispanics and some of the others, and the majority of them do not vote or even comprehend our way of life, and nobody's willing to admit the racial change. Well, a few of them, Pat Buchanan, will say how it changes our culture and some others, but not too many are willing to say that publicly.
No, you're right. One of the things that Trump has spent a lot of time doing is trying to cater some minority votes, and it seems to have worked. Cubans in Florida who understand socialism and saw what it was like in Cuba, and those in Venezuela have come and said, we don't want, this is how it happened, right? What are the most dangerous words in the English language? It can't happen here, right? Well, it is happening here. And trust me, Mike, even if we do win this one, we have 4 years to figure out what we're going to do. And I don't even know if the Democrats, anything could happen. Democrats could win the Senate and the House, you know, and Trump could just be a president sitting there with two houses of Congress against him. But the demographics are changing. But then again, so should reality. Now, right now we're living in a fake reality, right? We're living in a reality where man can be a woman simply because he says so. And people believe that fully grown 18-year-old boys should be competing with girls in sports, okay, which is not true. The Democrats who allege they're the party of science are not really following the science on some of this stuff. Or the fact that every cop is out to kill black people, when in fact most of the shootings are more whites are killed by cops, and more unarmed whites are killed by cops, and in black neighborhoods actually police are more reluctant to pull their weapons, not more so. When we talk about how the minorities are voting, I'm not saying that what they do, they obviously do think differently, and non-Christians, obviously Muslims and Jews think differently than Christians do. But I still believe that that reality will eventually overtake them. They can't suppress the truth forever. So blacks will find out, for instance, that the Democratic Party is a fraud for them, has been victimizing them, has been abusing them, using them forever. Now Jews, it's interesting. They've always been traditionally super liberal. Of course, they, what they started the NAACP, right? And they are heavily involved in civil rights and all this stuff. But then I see religious Jews, like these Orthodox Jews that are rioting, where in, is it New York? And they've gone, they're taken to the streets, they're going to be voting for Trump. So this might be one of these ones where Trump is able to pull from some of these groups that we have normally, we'll say, not been able to count on. And it could change things. Of course, I talk to a lot of white people. And by the way, it's unfortunate, and I say this because it's so disappointing to see the number of whites that were out there protesting and screaming at cops and curse words and helping break the windows and rioting and throwing the projectiles. This was very disappointing. And so I don't know what's happened to this generation except to say that these 25-year-old kids, maybe and under, are a product of our educational system over the past 20 years. This is one of the things we have got to get a hold of again. And so once again, I got to support Trump, who says that these universities and others who insist on teaching this critical race theory, where whites are constantly the oppressors and the evil force, and the history didn't start till the first slave got here, et cetera, has just it's anathema to the future of America. What do we have? We do have a melting pot here. We're 60% of the population, and what we have to bind us together with people of other religions and other races, of course, is the fact that we love America, that America changes you. You don't change America, that you have a chance here. And you can see this from the Asian immigrants who come in here and rise to the top. I must say also that Asians seem to be doing a better job than whites right now. We've fallen into this same type of thinking and brainwashing. Somehow they're immune to it. But at any rate, we'll see how that goes. And whether or not Trump can convince some of these, because we're going to have to make coalitions with other groups before too long. If we're not going to have the straight majority and not vote like a majority, and we're going to have suburban white housewives who simply don't like Trump because he's kind of a rough guy, you know, they don't like that kind of man. But if they're going to turn on us, we'll say, and vote for the liberals, then we're going to have to make coalitions going in towards the future here. I don't think that, and we can also say what Trump might do if he loses. I certainly hope he doesn't disappear into the woodwork like Ross Perot did, and like, who's the other one, Ron Paul, I mean, Pat Buchanan, he only had a percent of the vote, but I guess it was Perot and others who just gave up, just stopped, never returned to politics, could have started a third party. Is it a possibility that Trump could start a third party that would pull independents and minorities and conservatives together, and maybe something that white people don't want? I just want a peaceful country where we can go on with life and enjoy the benefits of this country. But anyway, hopefully he just won't disappear into the night, that he'll do
something. There's some talk of him buying the One America network.
I always thought he should have Trump TV, but what we do need, as far as freedom of speech goes, and where I'm kind of all over the map, is competition here. They're going to have to break up this Google, Amazon, Twitter, Facebook conglomerate. I'm not necessarily for taking away their protections under Section 230. That's the one that says that they are not responsible for what they say because they're not really news providers. That being said, I think you'd get even more censored news in the future were you to threaten these groups with being a lot more careless. So many more posts, and it's a much harder job. I'm in no way sticking up for the tech companies. All I'm saying is there's got to be a balance, and I think the balance is competition. The balance isn't necessarily just breaking it up into 27 different liberal groups. But as we go back to the planks, one of the big planks on this, on the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is the abortion issue. And I don't know how your readers feel about that, but I feel like, and I know a lot of Christians and the Christian women who have for some reason feel this is such a big issue. For me, it's a big issue, but the other way. In the Democratic platform and here in Virginia, the governor has talked about this also, about being able to have a child and allow it to die. Even at like 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, this is barbaric. That was one of the things where I found I could not cast a vote this year for a Democratic candidate because of this abortion issue. I'm a relative libertarian on this, but I just don't see how you can justify a child that's fully given birth to, right? They set up it for the moment of birth. And this is barbaric, absolutely barbaric. And of course, we have the immigration issue. If you're correct, you see, and most illegal aliens are going to, and immigrants in general are going to be conned into believing the Democratic Party is the party for them. Well, then they're going to open up these borders. They're going to give the amnesty, or at least paths to amnesty, probably quick amnesty, to 11 or 12 or 13 million. That's how many we think are here. There may be as many as 26 million. People, that's a heck of a lot of voters and a heck of a lot of people. And if they're going to get free health care, and if they're going to get the educational opportunities that we can barely afford for our own children, or if they're going to wipe out, or they're going to give them, free legal help to get them in the country. This is ridiculous. I cannot support the party that's gone this far on open borders.
Well, it's not just the illegals. I'm told that the legal immigration is only 10 to 13% white. That's going to change the culture of our country, if nothing else.
That's
yeah,
a very
I've been
good
told
point.
That people from white people from South Africa and Sweden and so on can't even get in.
Well, here's one of the things about the reality that we're living in, and the fake reality, because they want to give amnesty to 11 or 12, 13 million people who may not have developed skills, may not have English skills, may want to send their money back to Mexico, but you're going to seriously over vet people from Europe and South Africa and Australia and other white nations who want to come here. And so when you look at that, you have to say that that is a disastrous, dangerous, genocidal policy. Now, we do have an opportunity here. Let's have more children. As white people, we should definitely have as many children as we can. But a lot of these people I'm talking to, Mike, you know this, especially irreligious, atheist people, they would rather not have children, make their lives a little bit easier. Of course, having children is a tough job. You probably know that, right?
Yeah.
It never ends. But it's something that we have to be able to deal with here, because obviously it is going to change the cultural balance of this country. As a friend of mine said, and I said it earlier, he used to say, America changes you, you don't change America. Well, we are seeing a lot of surprises in this election even so far. The number of, around here in Virginia, say my daughter's 15, her friends all seem to think Joe Biden is like really cool. He's like trying to be the cool old guy. And like when he plays to go to the Latino rally, he plays the pushes the button. He can barely work a cell phone. Pushes the button and it plays some song about making love to a woman for crying out loud. I mean, Joe Biden sniffing her hair. It was unbelievable. And I'm like, why do your friends think that he's so cool? I mean, why do they hate Trump so much? And I don't think they're getting it from their parents, because their parents have Trump signs up in the front yard. So they are getting this fake news, brainwashing, Bolshevik, neo-Bolshevik stuff off social media. And that has to be dealt with too, because look, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids are on social media doing things and talking about subjects that are probably should not be talked about till you're 16, 17, 18. But they are getting brainwashed from this. I don't know how the Democratic Party has done it over the years. They've convinced their blacks and Latinos that they're the savior for them. They've convinced women that they're the party of compassion. They've convinced the technocrats that they're the party of science. I mean, it is really surprising how so many people have bought this whole thing hook, line, and sinker. Now, by the way,
part of it is that they're doing their thinking from emotion instead of objectivity and facts. And you change that, and it changes everything.
You know, that's funny you should say that, because I say it's just kids. But I talk to people, and one particular example I've got is a guy I know who happens to be in embassy security. He worked for the U.S. government. Loves the cops, loves the military, works with these guys, thinks that he's wrong about the intelligence services in America. But for all those things he hates the rioting, he hates the looting, he doesn't like the Black Lives Matter narrative, he knows the Antifa is dangerous, but he's going to vote for Biden. Why? Same thing I said before. I hate him. But when I say to him, well, Trump's a warmonger. Trump's a warmonger. He's nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes. He was? And it's just amazing the level of ignorance. When you rely on the internet and your cell phone and news feeds from these major companies, which many times I will say that one of the things they can do with this the big tech grip on people's brains is to stop having automatic apps put on your phone. You should be able to pick what search engine you want, because I understand some are better than others. I will say this, by the way, as far as the, it's funny, the Republicans and Trump really didn't worry about it when you and I are getting stomped on for talking about what we get talking about, right? We lose our credit card processing and PayPal and Amazon accounts and Kindle accounts, and they didn't care about that till they got censored. But yeah, I'm just glad that that issue is at least out in the open now a little more than it used to be, and they're at least talking about it. And that's one thing I can say about Trump is the American, all these years at American Free Press and Spotlight, we talked about the possibility of using tariffs, about free trade not being free, and these unequal trade deals going back decades, not just from NAFTA. You talked about staying out of foreign wars, minding your own business, trade with everybody, but have no favorites. It goes on and on. And so Trump is talking the same things that we talked about. So, of course, we have to have a little special place in our heart for this guy that has basically educated the American public about such things as free trade, about immigration, the effects of immigration, the number of people, which you're not going to find on CNN, the number of illegal aliens who commit murders and rapes and robberies and gang activity. And he's also brought some focus on China and China's involvement in the fentanyl trade and China's uneven playing field for trading with them. And so the American public, one way or another, you can give this to Trump, he's energized the entire nation, left and right, to get involved in politics and to care about things a little more. Now, I don't agree with what a lot of these Black Lives Matter and Antifa guys are doing. I don't support them much at all. I think it's purposeful as well for Black Lives Matter that they'll never allow you to find common ground with anybody like that, because they're going to co-opt those movements, which I think they were co-opted the minute they hit the ground, because they were Marxist to begin with.
Well, we also have some problems on our side. We need objectivity. I have a lot of things against Trump, especially the heavy of Jewish influence in his administration and a number of other things. So having said that, he's still the best president in my lifetime, because the other presidents have come nowhere near addressing the issues like immigration and regulation, et cetera. Sometimes people on our side, I think they act emotionally too, and they're either all for somebody and nearly worship him, or they're all against him because, you know, he's lacking in a certain area that people who may have gone a little further into the conspiracy, if you want to call it that, have gone.
No, you're right. And for all my praise of Trump, I'm also going to tell people when they say, well, why didn't he do this and why didn't he do that and why can't he do it? He's Donald Trump. Okay. For a guy who had never been in politics, didn't understand how this game is played. And by the way, I think that's what they're trying to teach him. You got to be a politician or a general, right? He's the first guy that wasn't either a general or a politician in history to be elected president. There might have been one that got in there in office. Maybe Hoover hadn't served, but he'd been appointed to a political position. But my point is, they basically, considering where he came from, has anybody had to deal with what he's had to deal with? I mean, here's one of the irrealities. It's okay for a vice president to blackmail a nation and withhold $100 billion in aid, and insist that a prosecutor be fired who's investigating his son's company. Now that's okay. But for a president to make a phone call asking about it is impeachable. So one of the things we're also going to have to learn is how to think again, to get these kids to think again, to control our language again, because so much of what we're told is a complete fallacy. And we know this. Look at the Supreme Court. This Amy Coney Barrett woman seems to be quite an intellectual and moral figure. And you may not like some of her stances on things. You may not like, I don't know, maybe some people don't like she's Catholic. Christians still argue amongst themselves, which we probably shouldn't do for the next 4 years. And I think the Democrats realize that too. But the vilification of her and Kavanaugh before that was unbelievable. I mean, the vitriol, the hatred. And it also comes down. So what I say was, I vote for Trump because he's trying to fight this critical race theory in schools, and I'll try to vote for Trump because he's stopping immigration. But there's other things that he is doing that I think are extremely important, little things, and just talking about little things. I wish he had actually had more fireside chats instead of tweet sessions, because one of the things about Donald Trump, as much as I appreciate his attempt to educate the American public about extremely important subjects, is that he has had the guts to fight through what he has fought through. I mean, I probably would have given up. I mean, they're trying to impeach me. They got the Russian collusion thing going, and they won't let up on that. I don't know why the left wants Russia to be our enemy so bad. Is it because that they would have been proven wrong? They don't want the two biggest Christian nations left on the planet to get together. Although China has a lot of Christians too, but I don't know if they're practicing freely. But you know what I'm saying? What's the story there? And so
I have sympathy for him because he's fighting the deep state, the swamp, as he calls it. People don't realize just how entrenched they are. And he was basically pressured into appointing a lot of these rhino types in his administration. I hope if he gets in the next time that he cleanses the Republican Party of a lot of these rhino establishment types.
Well, yeah, like John Bolton. What was he doing picking John Bolton for that position? John Bolton has been a neocon, pro-Israel, Zionist warmonger forever. It's kind of refreshing, actually, to see the number of big wig intelligence types and generals who actually went to Biden's side, so they can have all the neocons and neoliberals they want on that side. And hopefully we will get some real live America firsters. It's just that I guess we all I always figured the deep state was powerful people, but the deep state's turned out to be a lot of not so powerful people who are in positions to sabotage aides, people in on meetings or release stuff. How about this guy recently? He was supposed to be some top level Republican and he had this dirt on Trump or whatever he was talking about. And it turned out it was some lower level guy who'd been a holdover from another administration. You know, I always wondered why Bill Clinton fired every single lawyer in Washington, D.C., right? Didn't he fire every single person in the attorney general's office or something, every governmental lawyer to put his own people in place? And he probably did it to protect himself. Hopefully Trump will do it to get fresh ideas in there if he's able to pull this off. But there are some, so go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I like in a lot of areas Barr, but Barr also is doing a lot of cover up. Some of these people are never prosecuted.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. And it's like Hillary Clinton is untouchable, evidently. You know, and we'll see where this Biden thing goes, because from what I've seen, it's pretty serious. And you know, it's up there in the top 10 of presidential misconduct or upper level government misconduct that I've seen over the past 10 presidents. You know, you had Iran-Contra and you had Monica Lewinsky and you had Watergate. And now you got this Joe Biden thing and it's just being completely ignored. So who knows where Trump would be if he had a fair media. Or if he was able to handle the media better, then, you know, maybe that would have been good. Listen, the minute he declared war on the intelligence agencies and the news media by calling them fake news and not reliable as far as the intelligence services, I mean, we knew there was going to be trouble there, and they really haven't stopped working since then. As far as Trump's, Jewish proclivities, we'll say, you know, his daughter has converted, right, to Judaism, his son-in-law is a Lubavitcher, which is a pretty radical Jewish sect. He loves Israel. The deals, and I will mention, touch on this way, I think some of these deals in the Mideast may not exactly be the way to go. For instance, the deal with Bahrain and the deal with the United Arab Emirates involved, was it F-23s? I can't remember if it's the F-23. But it's
I can't remember, but the one thing I fear from a second term for him is that he might get us into war with Iran.
Well, he very well might, because here's the thing. Now, we've promised both of these nations if they sign an agreement that they'll get these fancy fighter jets. Well, at the same time, the Democrats, and maybe even a bipartisan effort, wants to give Israel veto power over arms sales in the Middle East over the U.S. president. So at any rate, my point is they're all going to line up. Sudan is signing a deal now so they can get off the terror watch list. And who knows what type of deal we have with Sudan, or if people try to overthrow these generals in Sudan, whether we're going to have to come to their aid, whether or not what happens when Bahrain and UAE, is it Bahrain? I don't remember. With the two that signed the agreement, I think it was Bahrain and UAE, don't get their F-23s, or are they going to want to end it? And, of course, Erdogan's making a lot of beating a stick over there, too. So this is a spot to watch. It wouldn't doubt me if he wanted to get into war with Iran, he'd get into war with Iran. I've met a lot of people from Iran, and I actually like the Iranians. They're intelligent, the ones I've met, and very westernized. And I don't know what's going on in their country or how terrible they are. But you see what happens when uncontrolled immigration does happen. This is kind of off the track because we were in the Middle East, but we're going to France now. And you see what happens when you let people who are culturally, religiously, ethnically, radically different from you into your country. If you don't watch out and you exercise some level of Western value, say freedom of speech, then you may get your head chopped off. Although I must say that I don't really think that anybody should be drawing dirty cartoons of anybody's religious figures and then putting them on buildings, you know, putting the light. I think that's the wrong way to go. You know, so you do have to, but that doesn't matter because, hey, people have gone super liberal now and there's not much, you know, they want to make fun of everything and ridicule God and Jesus and everything. But anyway, that's a dangerous thing. So we would like this country to kind of stay the way it is. We also have to deal with the reality of the situation. If the Democrats are elected, we're in for big changes. I don't know if they can ruin the country in 4 years. Unless they, now by the way, I also say to people, listen, if Joe Biden does gets elected, I hope he's the best daggone president we ever had. I hope he does. I hope he's not senile. I hope he serves his 4 years. He keeps Kamala out of there because I don't really trust her. And I hope he's the best president we ever had. And every idea he has works out perfect. Okay. Immediately stops COVID-19 or whatever it is. And everybody's got food on the table and all this other stuff. I don't think it's going to happen. I think just the opposite.
A lot will depend on the House and the Senate.
That's true. Well, listen, remember my friend Mike Piper told me when Obama was elected, he said this will either be the beginning of a one-party system or the end of the Democrats. And if they lose a second one in a row and they try to blame Russian collusion or any other stupid thing that they've come up with, vote stealing and all this other garbage with the USPS, which was all fake news, then they're going to they need to look at their platform, because they can't look and use excuses anymore. They have to say this is not appealing. Now they have two options: either appeal to us and change your platform, or stick with your platform until your demographic matches your platform. That's probably what they're doing. When you look at it, you're like, but don't you realize this is going to forever change the cultural, religious, ethnic balance of America? And for many white people, we feel that one of the reasons this country has been so great is because we are Christians and we've been unified by that. And that as white Europeans, we have much in common. That if they go this other way, that this is just going to be more of the stuff you're seeing on the streets now, because there's going to be groups ready to rile each one of these groups up. It's amazing how many black people, for instance, actually believe the white people hate them, that want to kill them, want to keep them from getting jobs. I can't blame them for believing that, because it's all they hear and it's what they've been taught. Now, there's also lots of good black conservatives, in my opinion, who are played an important part in not only convincing their fellow blacks to vote for Trump, but also white people on the fence who are unsure, who might have believed that Trump's this terrible racist and all this other stuff. So what's going to happen if Trump wins or loses? Well, if he wins, I would dream that this was going to be a great 4 years, that everything is going to be, he's going to continue on with America First policies. We're going to keep with a good border. We're going to stay out of wars if at all possible. We're not going to be hornswoggled in the Middle East by Israel. We're going to create jobs. Eventually we'll get over this pandemic, et cetera. okay, fine, business as usual, pretty much. But that's not what's going to happen. If they do control, as you just, the biggest point you made, and I probably have to wrap it up in a minute, but the point you made is, what's going to happen.
We have about 6 minutes left.
Very good, very good.
I was going to mention there, you know, that what I think you just said was kind of wishful thinking. I'd like to see it, but we talked off the air a little bit about QAnon, and I don't think it's a monolithic organization. I think there are many different people feeding the news feeds or articles, and some of it's very credible, but some of it's complete nonsense, which may be there on purpose. Would you like to comment on that organization?
Sure. I don't know too much about them, except we have sold a book and we do look at the basic statements of some of the candidates who supported them. I am a little concerned about them and what their ultimate goal is, and I don't know if they're telling the truth. However, we can all agree on some of the things they say. For instance, if the mainstream news media says QAnon's nuts, that probably means they aren't. And so they believe in things like that there's child trafficking going on at high levels in amongst the global elite. Who can deny that as a fact? How could you say that they're completely lunatics when you have Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell being accused of running young women to multiple numbers of global elites? So the part that then they take it is, and I think we talked about this, they take it to the part where they're sacrificing babies in a satanic ritual. And so whenever I hear that finish the end of it, I think we all could have agreed on part A, but part B, then I have to do a lot more research on that. So I don't know what else QAnon, obviously, one of the big things they believe in is the deep state. Oh, the deep state's working against Trump and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's true. I mean, you had the FBI, you had the CIA, you had meetings with Obama, you had the old DOJ in there. You've got politicians, the news media, the whole deep state everywhere, insiders in his own administration. So how can you deny that the deep state is working against Donald Trump? And then all of a sudden they throw in the bit about the deep state may actually be Donald Trump. By the way, that's all I know about them. I'll just wrap up my statement about what you said.
Okay. We do have a caller from Ord, Nebraska, so let me take that call.
Fantastic.
You're on the air.
I would like to have your guest give his name again and the publication he's affiliated with, and any websites that you might have, please. Thank you.
That's my kind of caller. My name is Paul Angel, and our websites are AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.com. Barnes is B-A-R-N-E-S, Review.com. One's a history magazine that talks about politically incorrect history. It's pretty much a politically incorrect journal. And American Press, Free Press is an independent newspaper that's been operating since 2001. And many of us were from the Spotlight, which was founded in 1975 by Willis Carter, went out of business in 2001. Basically, they ran us out of business because of the things we had published over the years about inside stuff. And there's this stuff about the same things that Trump says. It's the same reason they hated Trump. The news media is corrupt. The foreign wars are a terrible thing. American taxpayers are being overburdened. We were a pretty much populist organization supporting the middle class. So, yeah, so please go there and check those websites out. And you can always call those 800 numbers, too. We have 1-888-699-6397 and 1-877-773-9077. Ask them for the best subscription deals you could get and tell them you heard me on Mike Hallamore's program, and they'll give you a deal. Mike, about the wishful thinking, no, I was going to continue that, but saying we know that's not the way it's going to be. They're going to be after him to get him probably not out of office, because if Mike Pence took over, a lot of people would feel more comfortable. A lot of people that really are uncomfortable with voting Democrat but don't like Trump would feel comfortable with Pence. So they'll probably leave him in there. And why wouldn't they leave him in there? They've made the Black Lives Matter is, quintupled in size. It's worth $250 million. It's getting a pledge of $1 billion over the next 4 years from Citibank. It's got multimillionaires and Hollywood types donating money. Why would they ever want Trump out of office? Antifa, on the other hand, is a little bit different. I think the minute they get attention called to themselves, they pretty much scurry away, and that's kind of what happened in several places. I don't know if they're back in business or not or whatever. But it's going to be a tough year. If Biden wins, it's going to be tough, but we'll survive. And if Trump wins, it's going to be tough for him. And I swear, if the man has the fortitude to make it four more years after what they put him through, then I'll be happy that he kept fighting. Because that's one thing about Trump, I tell you, he's a fighter.
We've got about a minute left if you'd like to make any concluding remarks, and I'll remind the audience that as soon as this is cleaned up, the recording, it'll be posted on our website within the next couple of days, and you can listen again and get those addresses of Paul and American Free Press, et cetera. Anyway, like I said, would you like to conclude with some closing remarks?
Well, let's try to end up with a message of hope here. Because the last 4 years for me have been pretty good. I mean, the COVID stuff didn't hit me too hard. I don't know anybody who's passed away. I'm living in a county that had very few cases. So if Trump gets elected, that's going to be his big thing, to see what he can do there and whether or not he can. I don't think he can stop it, but keep the economy going. Joe Biden gets elected, we got to pray. We got to pray that Joe is not going to be pushed around, that Joe is going to is at heart a moderate Democrat who appreciates white culture and the way the country is and the country he grew up in, and that one way or another we'll make it through this 4 years. I'm very interested, almost more so, to see what's coming around the corner in 2024. Is it going to be people so disaffected with the Democrats that they vote Republican, and we have a great, strong candidate that on either side that just unifies this country, and we can all stop this bickering, because it's the only thing that's going to stop the news media from painting everyone as either Satan or a savior. They've got to stop that. These are, even Joe Biden and even Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth, even like these people, occasionally they have good ideas. That's right, even Democrats have good ideas.
It's unusual. We're out of time. I'd like to thank you for being on the broadcast, and I'd encourage our listeners to listen to the archive program and subscribe to American Free Press, and you'll keep on top of it no matter who wins. So thank you again, and I'll wish everybody good night.
Good night.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening, and send a donation to cover our cost, plus help with radio time, to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com, type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.